We read together from the book of Psalms as we turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we read together verses 65 to 72. 119, verses 65 to 72. Let's hear the word of God. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. So reads the word of God. Well, this morning we come to our ninth address in a series of sermons called Behold Your God. It's a series where we've been looking at the attributes and perfections of God. It's been good for us, I think, hasn't it? To focus our minds, to focus our hearts even on the God of heaven and earth. Particularly during what has been one of the most uncertain times of our lives. The coronavirus pandemic has changed life as we know it completely. The global economy has changed. The world of work and business has changed. How we educate our children has changed. How we exercise, how we spend our money, how we get our shopping, how we do church. It's all changed. But we remember this morning, God has not changed. God has not changed. And in an ever-changing world, he is the great unchanging Lord. As we considered early on in this series, he is immutable. And it's been good for us to remind ourselves of his unchanging character and perfections. This morning, we come to consider the goodness of God. The goodness of God, the fact that all the time God is good, infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably good. But maybe you're listening today and you're just not sure about this one. Is God good all the time in your life? Is that true? What about the times when you're in pain? Is God good then when you're in pain? Or what about the times when you're in conflict? What about the times when you're depressed, when you're stressed out, when you're worried, when you're under attack? Is God really good all the time? And how do we know that goodness when perhaps we can't feel it? Maybe you're saying to yourself, well, yes, I believe God is good. It's a doctrinal truth that I can tick off in my head. But if I could probe a little bit further this morning, let me ask you, not only do you believe it in your head, but do you feel it? Do you feel this truth in your heart? Do you feel it in your bones, as it were? Not just do you believe in the goodness of God intellectually, but do you believe it emotionally and mentally and physically even? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Do you embrace the goodness of God? Do you stand on it with your whole being? Because friends, if you and I are going to survive this life with all of its ups and downs, with all of its pain and difficulty, we need to have our roots dug down deep into this attribute, the goodness of God. For as the prophet said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Nahum 1 verse 7. Or the psalmist, having gone through the dark, shadowy valley, who said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 23 verse 6. The message of the Bible is that yes, even in the midst of a broken world, a world where there's suffering and sickness and sorrow, there is a God, and he is good, perfectly good. We want to consider this today under two main headings. Firstly, recognizing the goodness of God, and then secondly, responding to the goodness of God. So let's think firstly, recognizing the goodness of God. Recognizing the goodness of God. What are the evidences for God's goodness? Where do we see his goodness displayed? Well, let me suggest four areas, four ways we can recognize God's goodness. Firstly, we see his goodness, firstly, in and of himself. In and of himself. That is to say, goodness, it's not just something God does, but it's who he is. It's who he is in his essence, in his being. He is good. If you like, goodness is part of his DNA. It's part of his building blocks. It's part of what makes God, God. Psalm 25 verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 68, we read it earlier, you are good. Or as Jesus told the rich young man, Mark 10 verse 18, no one is good except God alone. Of course, Jesus didn't mean there that the human beings are incapable of doing good. What he meant was, only God is in himself infinitely and intrinsically good. Before the world was ever created, God was good. And if the world had never been created, God would still be good. He is the source. He is the fountain of all goodness. And he is himself completely, infinitely good. There's nothing in him that is not good. And having that settled in our minds, friends, will be enormously helpful. The goodness of God is not something that fluctuates up and down on a sliding scale. It can never increase or decrease. No, he's 100% 24/7 from everlasting to everlasting. Very, very good. And so that's the first place we should look in recognizing the goodness of God. Just looking at the way he describes himself in the scriptures. He is good in and of himself. But when we look at what he's done and what he continues to do, we see even more of his goodness. Secondly, then, we see his goodness in creation. We see his goodness in creation. It takes just four verses for the Bible to set forth the brilliant diamond of God's goodness. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And that's the constant refrain, isn't it, throughout the creation week. God saw that it was good, until you get to the sixth day when God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. Psalm 33 verse 5 in the Authorized Version tells us, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And if we would only open our eyes to see, the goodness of God is all around us, friends. Do you hear the birds chirping in the morning? Do you see the trees covered again in leaves? Do you notice the flowers blooming and blossoming and the bees buzzing? Do you see and hear all of that? God could have created a much duller creation with much duller creatures to fill it. But no, out of his goodness, he formed and filled the earth with such a variety of creatures and scenery and colours and sounds and smells. And out of his same goodness, he's given us the senses and the capabilities to see it all and hear it all, smell it all, feel it all, to taste, to enjoy it all. Anyone who has ever stopped to admire a rainbow, or stopped to take a photo of a sunset, or reached out to stroke a friendly animal, or wiped their chin from a juicy peach, or breathed in the smell of mint or sweet pea or coffee, you know his goodness is scattered all around you. Paul says in Acts 14, verse 17, he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. So even though we're living in a fallen world, friends, you could almost say that we trip over his goodness at every turn. We see his goodness in creation. We also see his goodness in providence. In providence. I mean, it would be good enough if God was to create the world and then just let it run on its own. But the God of the Bible isn't like that. His goodness doesn't stop at Genesis 1:31. No, we see his goodness, don't we? And how he providentially sustains and cares for all that he has made. Out of his goodness, he provides every day for you and for me and for every living creature. Psalm 105 is very clear in this. Psalm 145. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. The eyes of all look to you. You give them food in due season. You open your hand. You desire this. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. He gives us our daily bread. He gives us the joy of family and friends. On the whole, he gives us more days of joy than days of sorrow. And we know, don't we, in Romans 8:28, that he works all things together for what? For good, to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And we'll come back to this, but even our trials in the providence of God, they work together for good. So really and truly, friends, we can see his goodness in daily providence. So his goodness in and of himself, in creation, in providence. But fourthly, and most clearly, we see his goodness in redemption. In redemption. And this is the most remarkable display of his goodness, isn't it? Think of those words from the angel to the shepherd that night. Luke 2, verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Not just news, but good news. And surely the goodness of God is nowhere more recognizable than in the sending of his one and only Son into this world of rebels and sinners. And Jesus of Nazareth, goodness made flesh, the one who, in the words of Acts 10, verse 38, he went about doing good. And ultimately, it's at Calvary, isn't it, where we see the supreme, preeminent display of the goodness of God. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us. And that the Father should pour out his wrath, not on us, but on his sinless Son, that he should adopt us as his beloved children, that's goodness, friends. That's goodness. In Jesus Christ, God has demonstrated in the greatest possible way his goodness towards you and me. Four ways then to recognize the goodness of God: in himself, in creation, in providence, and in redemption. Recognizing the goodness of God. But let's think secondly then, responding to the goodness of God. Responding to the goodness of God. What should the effect of God's goodness be upon us today? Well, just as we had four ways to recognize God's goodness, let me share four ways now where we can respond to his goodness. And surely, first of all, we should repent. We should repent. In the New King James Version of the Bible, Paul tells us in Romans 2 verse 4, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Isn't that interesting? Romans 2, 4. It's not necessarily the fear of God or the fear of hell that brings a man or woman or boy or girl to repentance. But the Bible says the goodness of God leads you to repentance. God, in other words, proclaims his goodness to men and women not to make us feel comfortable or easy or careless or casual, but to lead us to repentance. His goodness, in other words, should bring us to our knees. His goodness should stop us in our tracks. His goodness should cause us to turn from a life of rebellion and sin. Because when we see how good God is, we should see the total contrast in our own hearts and lives. Compared to him, we are not good. Compared to him, we are the opposite of good. And our first response to the goodness of God should be one of shame and regret and guilt. We should repent, we should turn, we should change direction and seek deliverance for our utter lack of goodness. And you know, when we do that, when we turn to him, he eagerly accepts us. As the Puritan Stephen Charnock wrote when he was writing about the goodness of God, he wrote this: "He is the true Father who has a quicker pace in meeting than the prodigal has in returning." In other words, he runs to us faster than we run to him. It's the goodness of God. So that's the first thing we should do. We should repent. And the second thing is we should rejoice. Second way we should respond, we should rejoice. And the Psalms are full of this. No less than five times we read and sing in the Psalms, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." For he is good. You see, God's goodness should lead us to worship and thankfulness and gratitude. We see this all over the scriptures. In Exodus 18 verse 9, we're told that Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he rejoiced for all the good God had done to Israel, in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Moses' father-in-law rejoiced for all the good God had done to his people. Deuteronomy 26 verse 11, Moses said to the people, You shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and your house. You should rejoice in all the good the Lord has given to you. This would actually be a good thing, to sit down with your family and to sit down and do a little exercise, friends. Even if you don't have family, but it would be especially good with young children, to sit down and think of ways that God has been good to you during this time of lockdown and restrictions, and to rejoice in all the ways he's been good to you. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And when you've filled a page, understand you've hardly even begun to record all the ways he's been good to you and to me. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 41. Solomon's prayer to God: let your saints rejoice in your goodness. Jeremiah 31, verse 12. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion. They shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord. How should we respond to this attribute? We should rejoice. We should rejoice. We should repent. We should rejoice. We should remember, thirdly. We should remember. Sometimes we look at our circumstances and perhaps we waver in our confidence in this very truth, the goodness of God. And perhaps we're tempted, just like our first parents were in the Garden of Eden, to question the goodness of God. Do you understand, friends? This is one of Satan's greatest ploys to get us to doubt the goodness of God. Sinclair Ferguson, having ministered and pastored for over 50 years, he recently said this: pastorally, the single greatest issue I've had to deal with in pastoral ministry is variations on the theme, I'm not really sure that God is good. I'm not really sure that God is good. Isn't that interesting? In his 50 years of ministry and pastoral work, the single greatest issue, it's variations on this very thing, I'm not sure if God is really good. When things are hard, how many of us have that lurking suspicion, is God really as good as he says he is? We need to remember that's the devil sowing his seed of doubt and despair. We need to remember this attribute, the goodness of God. As we said at the start, we need to have it straight in our minds, friends, because when things come into our lives that we can't understand, this fact remains. God is always good, and all he does is good. And even in the midst of suffering, he is still good. Yes, I don't know exactly what he's doing in your life with your suffering. And I don't know all that he's doing in our world at the minute with this global pandemic. But I know from the Bible that there could be dozens, hundreds of good things he's doing right now in the midst of it all. We read earlier, for instance, in verse 71 of Psalm 119, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. In those times in our lives when we're at a total loss, confused, disorientated, when very, very little appears to make sense, remember this. God is good, and all he does is good. That, friends, is one of the most comforting, helpful, strengthening truths in all the Bible. the goodness of God. Nahum 1 verse 7, we quoted it earlier. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. How many times has he been a stronghold for you? And you've run to him, and you've run into him, and worry and anxiety, they've had to stay out of the castle of grace. It's the goodness of God. Remember it. Rest in it. There's a wonderful children's book recently published by Johnny Gibson and Joe Hawks. It's called The Moon is Always Round. The Moon is Always Round. It's about Johnny and his wife losing a child. And it's a wonderfully moving book. And the lesson it offers, it's simple but very profound. Because when you see the moon at night, depending on what day of the month it is, the moon, it may be a half circle, it may be a crescent, it may be barely a sliver of light. But that never doesn't mean the moon has changed its shape, because the moon is always round. We might not see it always round, but it's always round. And the point of the book is that even when the light seems dim, God is always good. God is always good. It's like that famous line from Spurgeon. God is too good to be unkind, and he's too wise to be mistaken. And when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. When we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. Remember then, remember the goodness of God. Repent, rejoice, remember. Can you guess a fourth way to respond? Reflect. Reflect. One of the greatest ways we can respond to the goodness of God is by reflecting that goodness to the world around us. In what seems like a lifetime ago now, Emma and I would have gone out on a very rare occasion and left our children with a babysitter, and it really seems like a distant memory ago. But I wonder if you can guess the last thing we said to our children before we would leave on those occasions. Be good. Be good. You know the rules. They're there for your good until your parents return. Be good. Jesus said something similar to his disciples in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In other words, be good. Do good. And others will see. And you'll be like a light causing others to glorify God. Think of his generosity and his kindness and his liberality in showing goodness. And in the same way, friends, let us reflect that goodness, being good and doing good to others, even to our enemies, to those who hate us, to those who frustrate us. Not to earn favour, not to earn brownie points with God in the slightest, but as an expression of gratitude to him. Since he's been so good to you, be a good employee. Since he's been so good to you, be a good neighbour. Since he's been so good to you, be a good parent, be a good child, be a good civil servant, be a good general practitioner, be a good midwife, be a good banker, be a good caregiver, be a good pensioner, be a good student. And in so doing, you will draw the attention of others like a city set on a hill. reflecting the goodness of God, but don't expect praise and admiration. They may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven, but they may not. The cynic will write you off as what? A do-gooder. A do-gooder. Isn't that what they did ultimately with our Lord? Acts 10:38-39. He went about doing good, and they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. Friends, if our neighbour rejects us, so be it. If the world despises us, so be it. If we are to walk in the light as he is in the light, we should be prepared to be treated as Christ was treated. But whatever happens, let us not grow weary of doing good. As Paul says, Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. In a world weary of lockdown, weary of distancing, weary of isolation, let us be those, friends, who stand out like a city set on a hill, repenting, rejoicing, remembering, and reflecting the goodness of God. Because God is always good. We read in Ezra 3:11. They sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.